Good morning, church. Special good morning to our visitors. Thankful that you are here to worship God with us. I am thankful to be here, especially to be able to get out of Philadelphia. If you heard any rumbling, we had to use our helicopter this morning to get here, so we had to park on the roof. I just want to thank God this morning. I want to thank God that He uses us in spite of who we are. Carlos and I are continuing this series, Rags to Riches. Last week, Carlos talked about God's grace and how it makes us rich. This week, I want to seek to encourage us as we look at the idea of being richly blessed in our trials. Being richly blessed in our trials. And I need to ask you, does that sound like a contradiction? Sounds like a contradiction. How is it that you can be richly blessed even in your trials? I want to encourage you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. I just want to share a couple of things before we get into the text. They're on my heart. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And there's that grace of God that makes us rich. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. As you've heard, the Christians, even in the midst of our suffering and in our trials, we're richly blessed. Because what's produced from that is perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So if I were to ask you this morning, do you want to grow in perseverance? You would more than likely tell me, yes, you do. If I ask you if you want your character to grow and to develop in your walk with Christ, you would tell me absolutely. If I were to ask you, do you want your hope to be increased? You would say absolutely. If I were to ask you, do you want your trials and your sufferings to increase? You would tell me to get out of your face. But what we look at as Christians, that the only way that we grow is through tough times. You know, a prayer life increases when there's tough times. Happy times, we tend to forget God. We tend to need to be reminded that we have to depend on God. So God uses our trials, He uses our sufferings to shape and to mold us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of like making a cake. I'm not going to talk about muffins this week. It's kind of like making a cake. It takes a lot of ingredients to get the cake that we all love. It takes a lot of ingredients, and it needs to be mixed up. And if you eat that cake too soon, it just doesn't taste like you thought it would. And in the same token, with our lives, if God takes us out of the fire too soon, it's not the life that He wanted us to have. If we had our choice, we would jump out of the fire. In fact, we would stay away from the fire. But God, in His wisdom, knows exactly what He's doing. So one of the most sobering things, the most sobering realities about being a Christian is the fact that being a Christian does not make one immune, nor does it excuse us from the experiences of trials and tribulations in this life. Amen? Just because we're Christians does not mean that we're not going to go through hard times. In fact, when we look at the scripture, we'll see it means the exact opposite, because I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. In Timothy, it says that anyone who wants to live a godly life, you will be what? persecuted. So the word of God is very clear to me, and it guarantees one thing. It guarantees this in John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, in this world you will have trouble. But he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. See, I wish that I could snap my fingers and the people that I love and the people that you love, we could just snap our fingers and we wouldn't have to go through any kind of hard times at all. No trials, only smiles. But it's not that way on this earth. Jesus, in John chapter 16, verse 33, he wants us to fix our hearts on the richness of his provision, of his death, his burial, his resurrection. Let that be the catalyst of our encouragement. So even in the midst of our trials and in the midst of our hard times, God says, I want to meet you right there in the middle of it. So if you notice, sometimes we ask God to remove things from our lives, and we notice, and we're going to get to this, where Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed three times to have it removed. But God said, my grace is sufficient. I wonder what Paul said. I could just imagine Paul saying, well, I beg to differ. I think I have a better plan, because after all, you're not the one who's dealing with what I'm dealing with. Have you ever told somebody, you know, stop telling me that it's going to be all right because you're not the one who's dealing with this? But we can't say that to God. Because it says that God has gone through everything. He says he's been tempted in every way, just as we are, but without what? Without sin. So we can't go to God and say, well, God, you just don't understand. I have to do this because look at what I'm going through. God says, look at what I went through. He says, you haven't struggled with sin to the point of shedding your blood, so calm down a little bit. So this doctrine or this gospel of the health, wealth, and prosperity is not so. That doesn't sync with the Bible. So what I want us to do is, if you have believed the lie of, you know, believing the lie that, you know, that if you're going through a trial, it's because you did something wrong or God is punishing you. I want to tell you this morning that God doesn't operate like we do. God in his word says that in Psalm 103, verse 10, it says that he does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor does he repay us according to our iniquity. If it was true that God punishes us every time and punishes us because of what we deserve, we would be receiving that 24 hours a day punishment. But because of the grace of God, God says, I forgive you. Now, I want to make clear that if we are willfully in sin, God uses whatever God has to use to get our attention. But in this context, God does not treat us according to what our sins deserve. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, again, and I made reference to this before, it says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And I want to make this point, is that every one of us who profess to be Christians, we are all called to live a godly life. So we can't say, well, I'm going to choose not to live a godly life so I won't be persecuted. That's not an option, because after all, you're dead. After all, you belong to Jesus Christ. So God is kind of like one who's playing chess or one who's playing checkers. I'm not trying to trivialize who God is, but God can make whatever move he wants to make with your life and with my life. That's called God's sovereignty. And sometimes when you're playing checkers or when you're playing chess, in order to get the next move, you got to sacrifice somebody. We're all called to glorify God in this life. And we glorify God through our trials. So we are richly blessed because we get to team with God, if you will, to accomplish his agenda. So the first slide I want to draw your attention to is this one here. It says, do not make a God out of comfort. Do not make God Do not make a God out of comfort. What does that mean? What that means is this, is that if comfort is your God, I said if comfort is your God, you're going to have a rough life. What that means is this, is that if your every waking moment is for you to have ease and comfort, but yet you want to be like Christ, those two don't go together. They don't go together. Here's a top 10 list from a researcher of life's biggest stressors. Number one, death of a spouse. Number two, a jail sentence. Number three, death of an immediate family member. Number four, immediate family member commits suicide. Number five, getting into debt beyond the means of repayment. Number six, a period of homelessness. Number seven, immediate family member being seriously ill. Number eight, unemployment of the one who's the head of household. Number nine, divorce. And number 10, breakup of family. So guys, if we're going to be real as Christians this morning, we have to understand and we have to admit to the fact that there are some situations in life, some trials in life, that are just going to rock our spiritual boat. Don't we agree with that? Can anybody testify to the fact that you've gone through some things that have rocked your boat? Some things that, you know, I just didn't plan for this. But can you be blessed on the other side and look back and say, I see how God worked this out? So see, we are richly blessed in our trials because God moves us from point A to point B, and we would not go in that route if we had our choice. We wouldn't go through the hurt to get to where God is trying to take us if it were our choice. Perhaps we begin to question God's love for us when we go through trials. Perhaps we begin to question whether God is faithful towards us when we go through trials. In Psalm 86, verse 15, it says this. It says, but you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Psalm 36 verse 5 says that your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens and your faithfulness to the sky. So you see that we are richly blessed in our trials because God remains a compassionate God. God remains a gracious God even in our trials, and God is slow to anger in our trials. How many of us are slow and patient with one another when we're going through trials? How many of us look at a brother or sister and say, you know what, you really need to hurry up. I mean, it's been too long. One thing I want to give you is that when someone is grieving, there is no date of expiration. Grieving takes time. Working out life takes time. You see, what I may be going through is not what you're going through, obviously, so you don't know what I'm going through. You know, Job's friends tried to be therapists, and they were good when they started. And I want to make the emphasis, they were good when they started, when they kept their mouth what? Yes. Yes. Yeah, so sometimes we need to keep our mouth shut and let God go ahead and work with your brother or your sister. See, we don't know people's hearts. And God says it in Jeremiah, he says that, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. We get it reversed. We say, I know this person's heart. I know exactly why they're doing what they're doing and why they're acting the way that they're acting. God says, no, let the trial be a blessing. Let them go ahead and go through. Don't interrupt the process. Or perhaps in our trials, we are challenged to the point of even questioning, why are we even serving and worshiping God? Why am I even doing this? You know, look at this situation. Look at this trial. I feel like I just need to just give up. Trials are hard. Sometimes you just feel like, you know, what is the point? I look at the world, it seems like they're having more fun and they have more peace than I have. Why follow? Our third slide says this. Don't serve and worship God for the goodies. Don't serve and worship God just for the goodies. You know what I'm talking about, right? If we serve and worship God for the goodies, the loss of those things by way of trial will lead us to begin to make accusations against God. We begin to believe things about God that are not true. And I want to bring this to our attention also. In Job chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, we have one who is an accuser of you and of I all day long. And his accusation to us is this. In verse 8, it says this. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God, and he shuns evil." My question is, can I put my name in there next to Job? Can you put your name in there next to Job? Even if we can, I want to look at verse 9. It says, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. So does Job serve God for nothing, or is Job serving God just for the goodies? Verse 10, it says this, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land." In other words, God, you're protecting him. But notice what it says in verse 11, "But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has through trial, and he will surely curse you to your face." If we serve the goodies, when the goodies are gone, we leave God. Satan's accusation is that we serve God and we worship God as long as there's no trials. It's an interesting thing that we seek to serve God, we seek to serve Jesus Christ, but when we look at the life of Jesus Christ, look at what he went through. So how is it that we say, "I don't want to go through trials," but yet Jesus Christ went through all these trials? I want to encourage us this morning that in our trials is great blessings. There's great richness in our trials. The richness is that we get to know the power of God. I said the richness is that we get to know the power of God. If you want to be excited about something, you need to be excited about the power of God. Not your own power, but about the power of God. So as I seek to encourage you, I realize that I run the risk of sounding somewhat simplistic as we come to some kind of solution in dealing with our trials. But I want to assure you that I'm not saying that I've gone through what you've gone through. I'm not saying that that I've endured what you've had to endure. But what I am saying is this, is that God's hand and God's heart is with us right in the midst of the trial. Whatever it is, that's the richness. So we are richly blessed. We are richly blessed. We are richly blessed in our trials because God's comfort, his mercy, and his compassion is involved in every trial that we go through. That's how we're richly blessed. Our God is both faithful, he's compassionate, and he desires to use all of our trials to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ, and he calls us into these trials to bless us so that we will experience his power, so that we would stop relying on ourselves. How many of you trust yourself? Raise your hand if you trust you. So you guys don't trust yourself. Well, if you don't trust you, I'm not going to trust you. No, we don't want to trust ourselves. We want to rely on the power of God. Our weakness is our strength as we come to God. Battered, shredded, emotionally wrecked, we come to God. There we find our richness because God blesses us with his power and his strength. God does not want us to deny how tough trials are. God doesn't want us to deny how tough trials are, but he wants us to embrace them so that he can be used to help us to rely less on ourselves and more on him. So we are richly blessed by God in our trials because God takes our mess and he gives us a message. Yeah, God takes our mess and he makes it into a message. How many of you are encouraged when you hear of someone's life before they became a Christian and then you see how they are today? Isn't that an encouragement? And if truth be told, when you talk to another brother or sister and they're going through some stuff, it really makes your stuff doesn't look that bad. Yeah, you wouldn't want to trade. When I was going through one of the roughest times in my life, I didn't see anybody come to me and say, hey, brother, I'll trade with you. Nobody. I thought you loved me. No, I'm just joking. So where do we find all this? Where do we find this encouragement? How are we encouraged? Because the one thing we need to understand is none of us are going to be excused from trials. None of us will be excused from tribulations. None of us are going to be excused from that unexpected. And regardless of how well we plan, how well we pray, how much we read our Bible, it does not mean that you will not undergo trials. The Apostle Paul, if you were turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. When I was studying for this, what I came to understand is Paul deeply loved the church in Corinth. Deeply loved the church in Corinth. But the church in Corinth had a lot of problems. Lots of problems. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Reads this way. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. In verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. In verse 8, it says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, and I want you to take note of this, this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. You see how that works? If God did it one time, God can do it again. On him we have set our hope. Notice where we set our hope. That he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. First thing we need to understand here is that our Father, our God, is the God of all comfort. That God himself is the source of compassion, he's the source of comfort, and he himself is the source of encouragement. So my question to us is, have you ever been in a place where you just needed some compassion, some comfort, and some encouragement? And my next question is, where did you go for this comfort, compassion, and encouragement? See, we got to be careful who we turn to when we need comfort, when we need compassion, and when we need encouragement. Because there's some people that will encourage us in a way that does not wind up where God wants us to be. Our God is characterized as one who gives compassion, comfort, and encouragement. And even when, even in this desire, God gives us this grace. And even in our trials, we are richly blessed because God continues to extinguish us or continues to just douse us with grace. He continues to douse us with grace. So even in our trials, we are richly blessed. Because guess who's there in every trial before we even get there? God himself. See, the trial you're going to face next week, I can't predict it, but what I can predict is that God is faithful and he's already there. Yeah, God is already there and he's waiting for you. God's going to go say, hey, you're here. I'm here. I've been here. I've already made arrangements. Isn't that what he told Peter? He said, I've already taken care of it because Satan has asked to sift you. You see, I don't know. Satan may be asking to sift us. Yeah, but God says, hey, don't fret. I got this. See, so even in our trials, God says, I got this. You are richly blessed. You see, God's bank account in blessing us does not go low like ours. Yeah, God doesn't run out of grace. God doesn't run out of blessing. He doesn't run out that way. God doesn't need a deep freezer for grace. You hear me? Yeah, he doesn't need a deep freezer. He doesn't need like an emergency fund. Yeah, God doesn't need that. God says, I got this. All my stuff is all fresh, all of it. Yeah, it says, I give you fresh grace, fresh encouragement, fresh compassion. All of it is fresh. No freezer burn. It says that God comforts us in all of our trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. God comforts us. It's purposeful. You see, God blesses us in our trials so that we can turn around and be the wounded healer. Yeah, see, people like to talk to people who have been through some stuff. Yeah, that's who we want to talk to. You know, I don't want to talk to the pearly white guy or pearly white who has never been, because they don't understand. Yeah, I need to talk to someone who can understand. Isn't that why Jesus came to us? Yeah, God didn't stay up in heaven and say, I'm going to tell y'all like it is. He didn't do that. He came down and he says, I'm going to go through exactly what you go through. I'm going to feel what you feel. Jesus came through the birth canal. Yeah, he didn't have to. You know, and unlike you and unlike me, you were born in a hospital where they had the nurses and they wrap you in the same, you know, you ever notice that every baby is wrapped in the same thing, the blue and pink? I hope they wash them. But listen, you know, Jesus wasn't born that way. Look at how he came. Look at how he came. Where the animals were. If I decided to take my kids and say, I'm gonna birth them in a barn, you know, CYS would have came after me. Yeah, it's child abuse. Look at how Jesus came. Look at how Jesus came. So that God says he comforts us in all of our troubles. It says that we are richly blessed because he's there in it with us. So this is what we need to understand, is that we do not have to turn to food for comfort. We can turn to God. We do not have to turn to drug and alcohol for comfort. We can turn to God. We don't have to turn to falsehood trying to be what we're not. We can turn to God. You know, the Bible talks about falsehood. We don't have to be anybody but ourselves. God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You may think I'm funny looking, but God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't have to turn to pornography. We don't have to turn to romance novels, etc., for comfort. We can turn to God. But we need to listen and obey God when trials appear, because righteousness prevails. Yeah, righteousness prevails. Obedience prevails. Hang in there when you're going through a trial. Don't turn to sin, but turn to God. Say that with me. Don't turn to sin, but turn to God. The reason I say that is because whenever it's tough, the first thing that we look for is comfort. Whenever times get tough, the first thing we look for is comfort. Sometimes it comes in the form of dark chocolate. Sometimes it comes in the form of alcohol. Sometimes it comes in the form of whatever it may be, but if it's not God, turn to God. Brings up this point here is that he gives us this comfort and it's purposeful. It's not just for you. So when you're going through a tough time, understand it's not just for you, but God's going to give you comfort so you can turn around and give me comfort. So you can turn around and give your brother or your sister comfort with the comfort that God has given you. So you see, it's all purposeful. So another way of looking at how rich we are in our trials is that in this context, God allows us to be ministers to other people even in the midst of as we learn through the trial. But make no mistake, going through the trial, you have to be obedient and listen to God. In verse 8, it says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the trials that we experience in the province of Asia. My question to you is this, is are you suffering this morning in silence and no one knows exactly what you're going through? Paul says that he did not want the brothers and sisters to be uninformed. In other words, Paul says, I'm not going to front. I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah. Christians, we have the mode sometimes of not exactly telling the truth. How you doing? I'm good. You've heard that before, right? In fact, you've said it before, haven't you? Truth be told, I've said it before. Life falling apart. How you doing, Derek? I am great. So we are richly blessed in our trials because as Christians, we do not have to live in isolation. Richly blessed in our trials because God says that I will meet you right there in the midst of your trials. So looking at the Apostle Paul, his words in verses 8 and 9, he says that we were under pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. In verse 9, it says, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. It says, but this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The next time you go through a trial, don't complain. The next time you go through a trial, don't blame someone else. The next time we go through a trial, who should we be looking for? The hand and the heart of God. Because Paul says here, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to understand that what I'm going through, after I've thought about and after I contemplated this, I'm finding that I am richly blessed in this trial because I'm learning to trust God. And see, the thing is this, you don't learn to trust God unless you're going through something. I remember being younger, running from a dog. You've heard this before. Dog comes running down the step. The owner says, don't run. I'm like, you're crazy. I'm running. Don't run. Your dog looks like he's not coming to lick my ankle. So what we need to understand is that, I lost my point. Hold on. Okay, so what I'm saying is this, is that, you know, I outran this dog. I didn't know how fast I could run until this dog was behind me. You know what it is with our faith? We don't know how much we trust until we have to trust. Yeah, be risky and trust God. Yeah, be risky and tell me to be risky and trust God. The owner told me not to run, and I was outrunning his dog until I tripped over a curb. You know, in Philadelphia, we have curbs. In Jersey, you have Jersey, right? I tripped over a curb, and after I tripped over the curb, that was all she wrote. I got a nice bite behind my leg. When we run with God, there are no curbs. Yet God is not trying to set us up. You know, God does all things well, so even in our trial, God says, I'm going to do this, and you're going to like it, but you got to hang in there with me. You gotta hang in there with me. Don't turn to sin, but turn to God, because in my trial, I'm richly what? Richly blessed. As I mentioned earlier, I don't want to give a simplistic answer, so perhaps you're here this morning with a trial that's not removed. Perhaps you've prayed and you've prayed with other people, you've fasted for just relief of this trial. Once again, we can turn and we can look at the Apostle Paul, and if you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 as we wrap up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, it talks about Paul having this thorn in his flesh. In verse 8, it talks about three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away. In verse 9, he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made what? perfect in what? I need to know this morning, is there anyone who's ready to be weak? Let me ask the question this way. Raise your hand if you want to see the power of God. Raise your hand if you want to see the power of God. See, the only way we get to see the power of God is that I've got to relinquish my own strength. Because we've learned from Paul is as long as I think that I can handle it, I don't need God. I'm going to handle this on my own. I want to jump ahead and I want to give you 4 points and then I'm done. In order for us to understand that we are richly blessed in our trials, there's 4 things that I believe we need to do, and this is not all encompassing. You may have your own, but these are just 4 that I came up with. The first thing we need to do is we need to embrace our trials and rely on God. We need to embrace our trial. As long as we try to keep the trial away from it, if you notice, it doesn't go anywhere. We need to embrace it and rely on God. Another way of looking at this is that we need to own our trials and we need to not go into denial. Another thing we need to do is, like I said before, we need to rely on God, His word, His promises, His character. We also need to do this. Don't have a mindset of that I can resolve this trial on my own, because it will be like me running from that dog. You're going to trip over a curb. The second thing is we need to learn to embrace our weakness. Learn to embrace our weaknesses. As hard as it is, we have to free ourselves from our pride. We have to free ourselves from our pride. Our pride says, I can do this. I'm not weak. I can handle this. And when we do that, we don't get to see the richness of God in our trials. In our pride, we struggle to ask for help, and we also struggle to receive help. It says that in 2 Corinthians, as we read, that when God comforts me and when God comforts you, He does that so you can turn around and comfort your brother or your sister. But a prideful person has a hard time receiving comfort. They also have a hard time giving comfort. The third thing is we need to embrace the resurrection. We need to embrace the resurrection. What can I say about the resurrection? All of our assurance is right there in the resurrection. All of our power is right there in the resurrection. The fourth thing is this. Embrace God's faithfulness. Embrace God's faithfulness. If we want to understand that we are richly blessed, even in our trials, we have to come to the conclusion that God's way is the best way. That God is faithful, that God does not slumber, that God is right there with you and with me in the trial. Understand that God is not going to always remove the trial. Sometimes He says, my grace is sufficient. What do we say? No, it's not. God says, yes, it is. And I want to give you this secret. God doesn't change because we squirm. You know, I grew up in a home where I received spankings. And because I squirmed, it didn't stop. Yeah, it just didn't stop. This hurts me more than it hurts you. So when we're going through trials, we need to learn to embrace God's faithfulness. Our self-talk constantly tells us that God is not faithful. The way we talk to ourselves. We talk to ourselves, and our self-talk needs to change from God can't handle this, to God can handle this. When we don't embrace God, it just leads us further towards sin. It leads us further towards sin. In closing, I want to say this. You may be in a place this morning where you're struggling, where you have trials, where you're just being beat down, you're at a loss, you're confused about, I know I'm a Christian, but where is Christ? You know, I'm trying, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, and it just doesn't seem that I don't have any relief. Now, I'm trying to do the right thing, and it seems like every time I try, here comes something else. You been there before? Maybe you're there this morning. I want you to hear me. Give another brother or sister the opportunity to give you the comfort that God has given you, that has given us. Give another brother or sister the opportunity to bless you. Remove the pride. You come forward. We have brothers that are willing to pray for you, pray with you, talk to you, talk through you, so that you can understand that even in your trial, you don't have to despair of life as Paul did. Learn to rely on Christ. When we learn to rely on Christ, we will find that we are richly blessed, even in the midst of trial. Let's stand as we sing.